Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
Let every heart be raised. Let every voice speak the praise of the Most High God right now. Come on, in your own way, tell Him something good today. Honor Him for something. Praise Him for something good in your life. Praise Him for something that's well, something that's whole, something that's bound together in unity in your life. Father, we love You. Holy ground, holy ground. Nothing like it, thank You, God. Praise the mighty name. You're worthy, You're worthy. We stand on the ground of the holy today. Maybe it's not the person or your opinion of them across the room. But when no one else measures up, we serve a holy God. And this is His house, and this is His place, and He is worthy to be praised and worshiped and adored. And when we do that, this place becomes hallowed ground, holy ground, and it becomes an atmosphere where God can work through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus the Christ is manifested, and the works that come with Him, healing and deliverance, demons are cast out, men are set free, cancers are healed, people are made whole, and God is further exalted in all that we do. Would you lift up your hand? If you can, just pray in the Holy Ghost. As God allows you today, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hearts. Let God, when we don't know what to pray as we should, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Bless the name of the Lord. Work, God, holy God, holy God. I slipped into this room for a few moments this morning. I don't make it in every week, but I came in for prayer through those doors and made my way down to this second seat and just sat there and quietly prayed for a few moments. And a little time went by, I felt two hands on my shoulders. And I could hear just enough. I didn't recognize the voice, but I could hear someone praying fervently. And they began to do that. They began to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what I thought. I thought, that's one of our elderly men, one of our seniors that knows how to get through and touch God. And they're praying for me, and I appreciate that. And I kind of let it go, and I turned to look just as they were moving away, and I realized that it was my buddy, Adam Short. And I thought, oh, God, God's got some young men coming. They're not afraid of the power of the Holy Ghost. They're not shutting Him down. They're not quieting it down. They're not toning it down. But they know how to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, this thing is not over. The church is not going to be quietened. It's not going to be shut down or run over. There's still a group of men and women on the way that God's going to use in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Hey! If they got a word and they're anointed, let them share it. If they got a word of hope, let them sing it. God, the bottom may fall out, but God's still in charge in His own time. Hey, when Adam walked out, a few minutes went by, and the next thing I knew, I was surrounded by about four women. And they laid their hands on me, and all four of them were speaking in a heavenly language, praying the will of the Father for the pastor and for the church and for blessings and for God to move today. Thank you, ladies. God's not finished with Summerton yet. He has something to say and something to do through us and through you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm not trying to quiet them down or close them off. Let people speak for the glory of the Lord. Amen? Tell your neighbor this morning and tell somebody, hey, you just thought I was finished. Just tell them the devil just thought I was finished. The enemy just thought I was finished. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. Yeah. Well. Acts 14, verse 1. Now it happened in Iconium. Tell somebody I was there. No. Just tell them it happened in Iconium. That they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. I want to pause. Young man, I prayed for you a while ago. I want to do that again. Will you come right here? I'm not trying to embarrass you. That second MR, you're right there. Just right here. I want to embarrass you. Would you lift your hands toward God? I pray today, increase that hunger, that drive, that good work that you've begun in him, that you would bring it to fruition. That Pastor Philip and elders and others would speak into his life, and that God, you would raise him up as an example of the believers, and that God, you would use him in his school, use him among his family and friends, and that the glory of the Lord would be manifested, and that great things and that greater things would come in Jesus. A double portion in Jesus' name. And people believe. But the unbelieving Jews, say the next two words when they stirred up. That's four words, but we'll tell you. Stirred up the Gentiles. And poisoned, this is in the book of Acts. The day of Pentecost has fully come. The Spirit of the Lord is moving and breathing, but they poisoned their minds against the brothers. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse them and to stone them, they became aware of it and they moved forward to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. They moved on. Verse 19. Verses 8 and 11. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Then we see a temperature change in the same chapter. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they did stone Paul, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Supposing. A lot of people do a lot of supposing. Father, add your anointing to your word. Thank you for the anointing on the choir, upon every musician, every voice today. Thank you for every soloist. Thank you for every praiser and worshiper, God, that have lifted their hand and their heart to you. We've come to acknowledge you now, anoint your word, and anoint your people to receive it, to respond to it, and to retain it. In Christ's name, amen. Praise the Lord. I love him today, don't you? Are you glad to be in God's house on a Sunday morning? Or is it just another Sunday, just another routine? I don't ever want to come to church with that attitude. And if I've not done something to try to help you change from that mindset or that, I may have failed you as a pastor. And I don't ever want to do that. I want God's people to want to be in his house. And I want the power of the Holy Spirit to have liberty and freedom among his people, don't you? As we come to the close of Acts chapter 13, Sergius Paulus, The governor of Paphos has accepted Jesus, and the church is now being established not only in Antioch, Syria, but in Antioch, Turkey. Great things are happening. Miracles are transpiring. Paul and Barnabas are bold. Gentiles are glorifying the Lord. The word of God is being published throughout the entire region. The word tells us that as we move from Acts 2, Acts 1, through the scriptures, the holy scriptures, that there is great controversy, there is great animosity from the enemy, there is a stirring up, but also that the work of the Lord is being done, that miracles are transpiring, and that God is receiving glory, and that Jesus Christ is being acknowledged as the Savior of the world. But the word says those that are in envy and those that are troubled and troublemakers, that they stir up the chief men of the city and that they have expelled Paul and Barnabas. That's Acts chapter 13. Verse 51 of that same chapter said they shook off the dust of their feet against them. This was a Jewish term or Jewish terminology for breaking fellowship. It means that you are held in revulsion because of your faith in the Messiah, in Jesus as the Lord. It meant for the Jew that you don't dare bring in the dust of the Gentiles, the unclean, into our city, and they are being persecuted. Yet verse 52 said the disciples, even though their message has been rejected by some, that they are filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I have found today that it's not just an experience, it's not just a release form, it's not just a copy out when things don't go my way, but I have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been sanctified by the power of that blood, and I am filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of the gifts and the fruit. And today, when nothing else in this life on any particular day feels like it's going my way, I have the joy of the Holy Ghost, and I have hope in my soul that God is still on the throne, and I will persevere and make it. Amen. So the book of Acts is an explosive, miraculous, and undeniable work of God and a work of the church. Listen to this. This is the word. Yet every miracle was followed by men who despised them. Men who were filled with envy. Men unworthy of everlasting life. The mission of the kingdom has always been dangerous, and by some it has been refused. The kingdom of darkness is danger to the church, but it is because real men and women of God have always been dangerous to the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of hell. Can I just declare this morning, can I prophesy to a degree that there are some men and women in this house that are not asleep in the light? They are, the enemy has attacked, and the hell has become dangerous because you are dangerous to the kingdom of hell itself. And if you don't believe it, read the word of God and you'll understand that again and again and again the enemy attacks, but again and again and again the church prevails and we are victorious in Christ the Lord. Amen. Dangerous testimonies in this house, and hell fights you hard. During this first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas find danger, but they also find the unending supply of God's glory and God's strength to withstand every danger in every situation, in every city, in every battle, when it seemed like all was lost and there seemed to be no hope. There is this ever-increasing power of the Holy Ghost that keeps showing up, and he delivers them again and again and again. I would to God that someone in this house right now would reach up into the heavens, that you would pull down principalities and powers and tell the enemy right now, you just thought I was finished. Someone shout out loud, my best days are still ahead of me. God is still working in my life. Am I speaking to anyone in the house? You've been hated in life. You've been resented for the wrong reasons. You've been resented when people thought they knew your motives, but they didn't know your heart. The Lord tells us that Paul and Barnabas now in Acts 14 are in the city of Iconium. Today you will find that Iconium, it claims to be older even than the city of Damascus. It was influenced by Greek culture all the way back in the 3rd century B.C. By 25 B.C., just before we began to celebrate the Messiah and Jesus as Lord, a baby in Bethlehem, crucified on the cross of Calvary and risen from the dead. By 25 B.C., Iconium is now under Roman rule. Today, it is known as the city of Konya. Konya is a thriving city of 2.1 million, about 120 miles inland from the Mediterranean. It is a city also located in Turkey. It sits near Mount Taurus. The level of tradition taking place in Iconium is only equaled by the level of God's power and deliverance. They are both at a maximum. Sometimes people will say, if God is blessing the church, then you won't see this little chatter and hear that little chatter and see this little thing and see that little thing. But I tell you today that when God is blessing the church, that is when hell fights its hardest and comes against us with this power that only the power of God's Spirit can conquer and overcome in our lives. All of these things, all of these ingredients are taking place in Iconium. Jews and Greeks are being saved. I believe that it is God's will and God's plan for people to be saved. Amen. It is God's plan for people to hear the gospel, for you to share the gospel, and people to be changed. I want to tell you this. You can, I don't know why I felt this quickened, but you can sit on a church chair or a church pew and not be ready to meet Jesus Christ. You could sit in this auditorium this morning and not be in a place to meet Jesus. But it is God's will for you to believe and God's people to believe. And if you don't believe, then we've got to start right there and we've got to establish a faith in your life that says Christ is the Son of the living God, that he came, he died, he rose again, and he is coming back for those who believe. Am I talking to anybody in this house that really believes this could be the hour and this could be the day that Jesus could return in all of his glory? But the word says the unbelieving Jews stirred them up. There it is again. We've barely gotten out of Acts 13. We're in Acts 14. And they stirred them up. Somebody, I know some of you just keep stay focused. You're thinking across the room, across out of the room. You're thinking about that person. They're always stirring something. But verse 1 said that they spoke so effectively that the people believe. Stay with me. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. When you are persecuted, has anyone in this room been persecuted for your faith? You've been persecuted. I want to see your hand. You've been persecuted for what you believe. You've had someone speak negatively about you and your ministry and your testimony because they don't want anything to do with it and they don't want anything to do with you. When you are persecuted, be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some people are persecuted, hear me today, simply because they are weird. The message is not offensive. They are offensive. This is the word. You can keep telling people they are going to hell, or you can learn how to love them out of hell. It doesn't take a real bold voice for me or anyone else to stand up here and tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you'll spend eternity lost and damned in a place called hell. But it takes a real man of God and a real woman of God that knows how to cool it just a little bit and know how to love somebody and love them through their unsanctified life and love them through their trouble and love them through their attitude and love them through their lack of worship until they know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I've just been persecuted. You know, you're weird. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, how did he approach them? He used some pretty heavy language with them, didn't he? Like vipers, snakes. He said to the scribes and Pharisees, he boldly turned some out of the temple. And he said, have you not read? You know why he said that? Because he knew they had read. And he knew they weren't doing what they had read. And I can tell you this, this thought hit me this week. We could spend all day about talking about being bold and having a real attitude and being holy for God. And all you got to remember, Jesus kicked people out of the temple. He spent a lot more time winning people to the God the Father than he did kicking people out of the temple. We have our days. God has his moments. But he spent a whole lot more time loving people than he did turning them out or condemning them for the way that they were or the way that they worshiped. He said, have you not read? Why? Because they are religious. But when he meets that woman at the well, he knew how to speak her language. He begins with her need. He told her, she's testified and said, he told me all that I ever did. He did not lead with, you've been married 5 times, you don't worship, right? You're going to hell. Jesus knew his audience. You are responsible to have an audience with the King, and you are responsible to know your audience in the situations of life. Sometimes it takes a bold move, but sometimes it just takes you sitting down at the well and getting rid of the disciples for a little while. Send them into town to get something to eat. Give me a little alone time, and I'll sit down here with a woman that's broken, who's probably not been able to conceive and have a child. She's been married 5 times and discarded one after the other, after the other, after the other. Jesus meets her in her need. Know how to talk to people. Read the room. Get an understanding of the situation. Everything's not your way or the highway. Everybody's not like you, and they don't have to be like you. The atmosphere, it changes. Personalities change. Case histories change. You are responsible to know your audience. Just because someone hates you does not mean you're finished. Just because someone's at enmity with you, just because someone rubs you the wrong way, it does not mean you are finished with what God has called you to do. People are believing. The minds of the enemy have been affected by evil. Iconium is a dangerous place with dangerous people. They don't like Paul and they don't like Barnabas. But still, the word says that testimonies, Miss Sarah, are being raised up. People are being saved. Verse 3 said this, God granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. It's not the level of the opposition that matters. It's the level of God that you have in your heart against that opposition. It doesn't matter how high the wall of Jericho may be if you have people who are willing to march around it until it comes down. It doesn't matter how hot the furnace is for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as long as you know you've got access to the fourth man in the fire. It doesn't matter how long it takes to build the ark when everyone else disbelieves and everyone else mocks your work. If you know God spoke it to you, stand your ground, know your audience, and serve him with a gusto of life. Hey, If you know how great the pain of Calvary is, you understand that it's worth the price of salvation. Verse 5 said there was an attempt to discredit them. In other words, when nothing else works, just stir it up. Stone them. You better be very careful about who you're trying to stone. There are times in this life, Paul and Barnabas reconciles, understands that you will pay for doing what is good and what is right. Saved, delivered, signs and wonders. Hey, we don't need that around here. Just because they hate you for the wrong reasons, listen, does not mean you are finished. If you have to leave town just for a short season, it's not over yet. I believe that God still has a miracle around the corner in your life. Do you believe that? Miracles don't stop just because destinations change. As a matter of fact, you might get a miracle from God if you will let Him order your steps. I may be hated, but I'm heaven sent. Somebody lift your hand and declare that right now. I may be hated, but I am heaven sent. Jesus said some things like this. He said, don't cast your pearl before swine. In other words, don't waste your time with some things. He said, if you're persecuted in the city, flee to the next one. He said, sometimes just use common sense. Sometimes people are not going to hear you. They are not going to respond. They will not love you. But sometimes wisdom says, shake the dust off your feet. I am not finished just because someone else doesn't like me. Men. Sometimes people will try to finish you and put you in a box, close the cover, because you're not walking in the direction they want you to walk. But I'm not finished just because I make a decision to move forward and not go backward. I'm not finished just because I go forward, but not everyone is willing to follow. You're not finished because you made a decision in your family to live for God thoroughly and to commit your way and your life to Him. And no one else is buying into it. Stand your ground with great love, but stand your ground in a firm manner and trust God. God will work all things together for your good. That lost son, that lost daughter, it's not over yet. God's not finished yet. There's still hope and there's still time. The assault on your life, the thing that you're going through right now, it is not a stopping stone, it is a stepping stone. That's why they couldn't keep the stone in front of the tomb. Jesus stepped into His own miracle. Now they are at Lystra. The word says they moved to Lystra, 20 miles from Iconium. Derbe is 63 miles from Iconium. And here they are. They are not fighting tradition now. They are fighting against idolatry. And I can tell you, even more so than tradition, a lot of people, they don't wrestle with tradition. They have no desire to go back to an outhouse. They're fine with having indoor plumbing. They're okay with that. But there are things of the past that become idols to us. We're not lost in tradition, but we get lost in idolatry. We make gods out of things that should not be, instead of allowing God to be God and God to... And the word said, the natives are rude. Lystra is not that hospitable. But let me tell you why Lystra is important. Sometimes we just bypass and we think things are not important. But Lystra is important because there's a lady by the name of Lois there. And there's a lady by the name of Eunice there. They are mom and grandmom to a young man by the name of Timothy. As a matter of fact, it's right now, it's right on this first missionary journey, that more than likely Eunice and Lois and Timothy all Saul hear the message of Paul and Barnabas, and they give their lives to Jesus. And just a little bit later on, you'll hear Timothy say things like this: "You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God is working in the most most dangerous places of your life, inhospitable places of your life, when it seems like the cards are stacked against you and the walls are too high. God is at work, and he's preparing to do something miraculous, even when it seems like all is just mundane and trouble and trial. They are saved. Every step is important in the gospel. Things are happening. The church is being built the right way. But something else happens there. There's a lame man. And three different ways Luke describes him. He says that he is impotent in his feet. He has been crippled from the womb. And he has never walked. He is stuck. His legs have been taken out from under him. I hear people, "Nothing's ever worked for me. I'm just always being left out. I just don't feel like I have a place." If you go back to Acts chapter 3, verse 2, you'll see that there's another man just outside the temple gate, but this time it's Peter. Peter says something like, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." The scripture takes care to make mention that he also could not walk from the womb. His circumstances are eerily, just like this man in Lystra. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you, sometimes you think you're the only one that's been through it, and you're the only one that's got to face this. No one else knows what I'm feeling. No one else can relate. I'm telling you, if you're in the house today, chances are someone else in this house has been through something just like you've been through, and you can be a support and a help and an encouragement to one another, and God will do a work in your life and make you a living, breathing testimony to the power that can only come through. Stuck. Someone else has been through. Anyone, I want to know, anyone in this house, you're a cancer survivor. Anyone in this house, you are, keep your hands up for a moment. You are a cancer survivor. I want you to get out of your seat. I want you to come right here with me right now. Come quickly, come quickly. Get right here with me. I'll not embarrass you, but I want two things. Kathy, just sit right there. Lay your hands, everyone that can. Come here, every survivor. Quickly, come lay your hands on Bart right here. Come right here. Make a line. If you can't touch him, touch someone in front of you. You're not going through this by yourself. You got a pastor that loves you, you got a church that cares, and you got testimonies here. God, in Jesus' name. Pray. Lay your hands on it. Pray. I believe that God can do a miracle in this house today if you let him. Lay your hands on Kathy right there. Lay your hands on Kathy Gray. God, in Jesus' name, I pray. Those that have been through it, God, those that have experienced it, they've lived to share the testimony, they live to talk of your grace, and you lift up your hands, church. Lift up your hands and pray. Believe and intercede. Even now, declares the Lord, I am in your midst. I walk the aisles with you. I receive your worship. I'm honored by your praise. I am with you today. I have come into the midst of inhospitable circumstances in a world that defies who I am. But even today I declare that I am the God that healeth thee, and it is my desire to do wonders and miracles among you. Lift up your hands, lift up your voice, and receive my healing, declares the Lord of hosts. You're not finished yet. God's not done. This man had never encountered the name of Jesus, had never encountered the way to eternal life. The word said that he stood up and he walked and he magnified God. Just stay close, Blaine. Thank you. He's walking now, moving forward. Jeremy, come help me. I'll close with this morning. I've got much more. Just kind of sit down there, legs extended. Yeah, that's fine. It is so important what we do together. More than your ability to sing, more than your ability to preach, more than your ability to be a positive mindset and force in the body, to shine, to stand out, it is important that we understand how much emphasis God puts on the Word and the mindset of unity in the Word, in His Word. And I'm sure that when Paul and Barnabas encountered that man, if we're not careful, the enemy thinks that just because someone else is stuck or someone else doesn't have any liberty to move or someone else is seemingly has never been able to really walk, that if we take the time to stop and invest, and if we're not careful, it will happen. They'll just pull us right down here with them. And if we're not careful, before long, we'll develop the same mindset, the same speech patterns, the same philosophies, if we stay long enough, we'll just become what they've always been. If we're not careful, if we're not guarded, if we're not anointed. But what the devil doesn't think can happen in the church is simply this, that sometimes they don't pull you down. You have power and authority to pull them up. And the enemy never dreamed. Not only would I keep walking, he never dreamed we'd start walking together. He never dreamed that we'd start moving in tandem. He never dreamed that we would have so much more influence together than we would apart. And that somehow we'd go touch someone else that didn't seem like they could get up, but then we're walking together and now we're moving and we'll just pick up Mark as we go. Come on, Mark. We can do so much more together when we're moving in tandem and when we're moving together. We can actually turn and we can pivot and we can move forward together again. Why? Because we're together. We're in tandem. We're unified. And when they walked out of there that day, he walked out of there with them. You just think you're finished. But God will bless the church. Listen, I want to close with this. Threefold cord is not easily broken. I was so moved by, so thankful. Where's Camden? Is Camden in? There she is. On screen today, this young couple came to us just a few months ago, her and Cody. and Kinsley. And they didn't come in and say, you know what, nobody includes us. No one really cares if we're here or not. We just don't feel like we're a part. We just don't feel like we belong. No, they came in, he said, give me a camera. Let me do something. I'll move about, I'll be discreet, I'll take pictures for Jesus. Camden tells Parker, hey, I'm not too bashful. I'll get on. She's not bashful. And she said, I'll put me on the screen. I'll share some announcements. It's amazing what we can do if we do it in tandem, if we do it together. When we never could walk before, suddenly we can walk now. I'm talking to some people in this house. You've never done a blessed thing for Jesus in your life except claim him. If you'll do something, it's amazing what God will do in your life. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry if I offended you. Stand with me this morning. If you're not careful, you'll let the enemy make you your own God. And the enemy somehow thinks we're finished when he attempts to do that in our lives, that he messes with our ego. I can't get you with sticks and stones. I can't beat you to death, but I'll attack you. I'll attack you with your own ego. And the word said, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying, the gods are come down to us. The devil in his most crafty moment plays with our ego. They are ready to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They call them Jupiter and Mercury. There's a reason they do that. Because the history of the Phrygian hillside said that Jupiter and Mercury came down and they went to 1,000 doors and no one would let them in. They are the gods they are worshipped. But there's this little house and there's a little old couple there by the name of Philemon and Baucis. And when they come to their house, they let them in. And because they let them in and they welcome them in, they call down fire and they destroy all the other homes and families. And they turn the house of Philemon and Baucis into a temple. So the people don't want to miss their moment this time. They think this is Jupiter and Mercury. And if they shut them out, they'll take care of them too. But Paul says, wait a minute. When he understands what they're doing, he said, wait a minute. He said, no. He said, turn from your idols, your idolatry, and serve the living God. Why is that important? Because just two chapters before, the word said that Herod did not give credit to God. And that he was consumed and eaten alive by worms from the inside out. We better get back to giving God glory and stop trying to tell everybody else what to do except, hey, let's just join together. Let's work in tandem. Let's work together and see what the Lord will do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God, this morning I pray in Jesus' name. That should there be one under the sound of my voice, that the enemy has whispered in their ear, in their soul, in their heart this week, you're finished, you're done, it's over with. Throw in the towel, you might as well quit and walk away. I pray, God, today that they would reach out to you and be reminded that you love and that you care and that you're there. I just want to speak to you today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If the enemy has whispered that into the depths of your soul in the last week, few days, few months, the last year or two, that you don't matter, that no one notices, that no one cares, I'm finished. There's no place for me. Would you be bold enough? Would you step out from where you are? Would you just come meet me and let me pray with you like Jesus did with that woman by the well? I'm not here to call you out or cast anything out unless God directs in that way. But I just want to pray. Anyone today, hey, God said he still has his hand on you. He still cares. I want to give you that opportunity. I did not plan to give that. But listen, I've been in this church 45 years, but no one really knows I'm here. I just don't matter. I can't sing like so-and-so. I'm not over a ministry. No one's really watching or looking, but the enemy's played with my mind and played with my heart and tried his best to convince me that I don't matter. Anyone else in the room today?
Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.